Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Kelly Hunters, written by Grant Lee Keyser and read by Tamblyn Lord. Prologue. Four riders cantered towards the Murray River with grim faces and hard hearts as the summer sun went down over a land savaged by drought. Ned Kelly, a 24-year-old wanted dead or alive for killing three policemen, cast a long shadow as he waded his horse quietly into the muddy shallows at a point near the town of Cobram, Victoria, and headed towards the opposite riverbank. It was the late afternoon of Friday the 7th of February, 1879, and the sunlight glistened on a silvery river that in a dry spell was lower and narrower than it had been for years. Through his network of sympathisers, Kelly had organised decoys to baffle the manhunters on the tail of his gang, so that, while a few troopers guarded known crossing points along the Murray, a party of heavily armed police had assembled 260 kilometres away at the foot of the Australian Alps near the village of Corryong, expecting the four bushrangers to ride into their trap at any moment. Kelly had been trouble for the Victorian police since his teenage years, but he and his gang members had sparked unprecedented terror since leaving Sergeant Michael Kennedy and Constables Thomas Lonigan and Michael Scanlon dead in secluded bush beside Stringy Bark Creek in the Wombat Ranges 4 months earlier. Despite the continued efforts of police search parties camping out for days in rugged, dangerous mountain terrain, the Kelly gang had continued to evade the clutches of the law. The four outlaws had followed the police shootings with an audacious robbery of the National Bank in the northern Victorian town of Euroa. Their daring and Kelly's constant protests about police corruption had won them a degree of sympathy from a fiercely loyal band of supporters. But they had murder on their minds as they headed towards the New South Wales town of Jerilderie, a day's hard riding to the north. With Kelly was his small and surly teenage brother Dan, and their confederates, Joe Byrne and Steve Hart. Together, the four wild youngsters had become the most feared criminals in Australia and had sparked the continent's biggest ever manhunt. Now riding in pairs at a distance so as not to excite suspicion, the gang spurred on their horses into the deeper parts of the river up to their saddle flaps. They had formulated a plan to rob Jerilderie's Bank of New South Wales, but Kelly had also talked about killing one of the policemen stationed in the town. On the same day as the gang crossed the Murray into New South Wales, though, another killing spree was being planned almost 3,000 kilometres to the north. Four other men, also well-armed and crack shots, crossed the mouth of the Endeavour River, planning to retrieve the possessions of Cooktown's harbour master, Captain Albert Sykes, and a local merchant, William James Hartley, who would become the police magistrate of Mackay. Sykes and Hartley had been badly wounded under a shower of Aboriginal spears after they tried to tow back to Cooktown a valuable cedar log that had washed up on a sandy beach under the long range of hills leading out to Cape Bedford. The two colonists drove their attackers away with revolver fire before fleeing in their small boat. On the 7th of February 1879, the day after the attack, two prominent local journalists, Reginald Spencer Brown, later a World War I general, and William Henry Campbell, later a Queensland parliamentarian, along with two other men, set off in a cutter to take back the possessions of their wounded friends. Each member of the posse had Snyder Enfield rifles and plenty of ammunition.